I am recording this for the sake of those who wanted to be here and who could not. So I encourage you, jot down any questions or comments that you have and try to hold them until after we get done, and then we'll give you room to answer, to get those questions answered. We're going to have time for prayer. If God has given me a word, I release that. I don't conjure up stuff just because I'm a prophet. I still have to get permission, praise God, from heaven, because it is God's word. So if there is a word, I release it. If not, I will pray the will of the Father over your life. And then we'll go home. Open up with me in the book of Joshua. And I have been asking the Lord. I said, okay, God, you told me the what, but you didn't. You told me the when, but you didn't give me the what. And I didn't know what it was that he wanted me to speak to his people until just recently. And he said, Joshua. And so I went to the book of Joshua, and the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, prepare my people to march forward. Prepare them to march forward. And of course, in a day or so, we're going to actually be in the month of March. But the Lord is looking at the march instead of a noun. He's looking at it in terms of a verb. Advancement and promotion. Moving forward. So we're going to look in the book of Joshua. There's a lot to be said here. I will not go into all of it, but I encourage you, if you feel Holy Spirit pulling on you, go back and look over some of these things, because time won't permit me to get into all of it, but do go back and look over it. In the first chapter, and I'm just going to summarize, and then we'll start doing some reading, but in the first chapter, we find in verse 2 that the Lord told Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And I think that we've entered into a season now where we have to understand that there are some things that have died. And some of us tend to, because it's familiar, it's convenient, it's comfortable, we like it, we've been used to it, it's really hard to let some things go. Now, I don't think that Joshua didn't know Moses was dead, but sometimes God has to give you a wake-up call and say, hey, that season is over. I need you to wipe the tears, I need you to put the Kleenex away, I need you to rise up, and I need you to get ready for what's next. And so the Lord makes this statement to Moses. He said, my servant is dead. He said, now you go. And I think that's another thing that we need to understand, too, is that God puts people in our lives. Everybody has a season. Some seasons are temporary, some seasons are perpetual. But in this particular instance, that Moses was a seasonal a mentor for Joshua. And what it behooved Joshua to extract everything he could get from Moses while he was in that season of mentoring, while he was in that season of training, while he was in that season of being Moses' armor bearer. And he did. And so when it came time for God to say, okay, Joshua, it's time for you to go to the next level, Joshua was ready. He didn't have to say, well, wait a minute, I need to take another class. Let me find out how to pronounce this word in Hebrew. Let me go back and get the anointing. Let me get the Holy Ghost. He was ready. And so I think that we need to understand, too, is that, you know, when God places certain people in our life, isn't that whether we like the person or not, whether we get along, it's really not even the point. The fact of the matter is, okay, I heard an ouch. But the fact of the matter is that there's something that that person has that we need that's going to help us get to the next place. So, you know, you find even when Moses was in full-time ministry, Joshua followed him everywhere, to the point Joshua tried to climb up the mountain. Moses said, you cannot go. But Joshua was on the heel of Moses. So it wasn't anything strange that when it was time for Moses to be taken away, that Joshua was able to stand in his place. So that's another thing, too. Many times I know there are a lot of leaders here in this room. We need to understand this. In order to be an effective leader, we must learn how to follow. And I think that's a problem that a lot of us have, too. Well, God called me, and I'm anointed, and I can speak in tongues, and I can prophesy, but God still has a divine order. And in his divine order, discipleship always comes first. So God is saying to Joshua, he said, look, Moses is dead. That old season in your life is over. Your mentor has given you everything he has given you. He has poured out everything that you need for this next season. You are well able to take this next assignment. I'm perfectly confident in you that you can handle this. It's time to get up, and it's time to go over. And so he tells Moses, Joshua in verse 3, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I'm going to give it to you. Now, number one, that doesn't apply to people that sit on the sidelines and wait for a clue. That applies to people that are willing to step out. I mean, you think about it. The more tracks you make for the kingdom, the more territory God's going to give you. Amen. So that ought to speak to some of us that are still waiting and waiting and waiting. We want dominion, but, you know, who needs dominion over a couch? Who needs dominion over the TV set? You know, we're talking about, in a message, a release I gave Sunday morning, was that we are kingdom real estate. Wherever we go on the earth, on our jobs, kingdom real estate, the kingdom comes right here. Sitting at his booth at Bank of America, at his telecounter, here's the kingdom of God. I may not have a banner, I may not have anointed oil slick across my forehead, but whenever you step up to my counter, you encounter this as the kingdom of God. And so, again, I think we need to understand, too, that wherever we go, we take community, we take property for God. We take it. Just like in Joshua, they would take it, and they would, whenever they would go, or was it? It was a David. I think wherever they went, they would take the ark. I forget now where it was in the scriptures. But anyway, wherever they went, they would put up a monument or some type of altar to say, this is where God is. And so as kingdom real estate, we are kingdom real estate. Wherever we are, God owns that place. You have to think about it like that. So don't let the devil run you off your job. Okay? We run that. We may not have our name on the banner, but in Jesus' name, we run this. Okay? We allow what devil's coming in. We allow who gets bound up. We control that spiritually. We have authority. Jesus Christ gave us that authority. So anyway, God is telling Joshua, he said, look, everywhere you go, I'm going to give you authority. In other words, the more authority you want, the more places you need to go. You're going to have to take risks. You're going to have to be a person of courage. You're going to have to be bold. And he even tells Joshua this in verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. And then he tells him again, I think down further in verse 9. Be strong and of a good courage. It wasn't that Joshua wasn't listening. But when God have to come back and tell you the same thing again. And people holler, oh, confirmation. How many confirmations do we need? When the Lord has to come and tell you the same thing again, it's either because, number one, you didn't fully understand it the first time. You had some faith issues, or maybe you were out to lunch, you missed it, or, you know, you having some doubt issues. So God came and told Joshua the same thing twice. Whenever the Lord tells you the same thing twice, it is because he is establishing something. And when God establishes something, he brings it to pass. Okay? So how many words have you heard over and over and over again? You go to a whole nother church, the prophet don't know nothing about you, the usher don't know nothing about you, and they tell you the same thing so-and-so said, and you're compliment, you're praising God. Actually, we need to repent and say, Father, forgive me, because that word should not have came. That lets me know that I didn't believe it the first time, or I haven't moved on it the first time. So, something died up, and when you think about it, we are right on the edge of our winter season. We are literally about to cross over. Thank God for the 70s coming back this weekend. Hallelujah. We are about to cross over out of our winter season. What happens in the season of winter? Things die. Things dry up. Things freeze. Things come to a halt. And so spiritually, we have been in a winter season. We have been in a season where things have been drying up. Things, money has been drying up. Relationships dried up. Situations dried up. And it just seemed like, okay, God, where are you? But that must take place because God is a God that honors seasons. Every season can't be a spring for you. Every season can't be summer. You can't be harvesting all year long. There has to be a time when things are dying in your life, and there has to be a time when God is resurrecting some things. So we're coming into spring. We're literally coming to a season of resurrection. We're coming into a season of resurrection. And so this is why the Lord said, get ready. Get ready to move. Get ready to move. So we're coming out of winter season. Winter season symbolizes death. Death of relationships. Death of certain movements. Old things are passing away. Moses is dead. That old thing is dying now. And it's time to get ready for what God is doing next. But now this new thing is not coming automatically. You've got to actually step out and find out where it is. Now that's scary. Especially those of us that have been sitting on the dock of the bay. Joshua was so accustomed to Moses doing it for him. This is what God is delivering us from. People doing it for you. He's delivering us from people doing it for you. Moses is dead. You can't run back and say, okay, show me how. God said, no, it's time for you to come before me. You ask me for direction. You ask me for strategy. You ask me, Lord, is this the place? Is he the one? Is she the one? Is this the job? God said, I need you to come before me now. Moses is dead. So it's time now where God is moving some crutches. Okay. No more handicap saves. No more handicap saying. Come on, it's time to get out the wheelchair. It's time to get out the crutches. It's time to pluck out the hearing aids. Needing other people to hear God for you.
Yeah.
God said, it's time now. You're marching forward. You're going to have to stretch your legs. You're going to have to, you know, and the more strength, if anybody's athletic, which I am certainly not, but if there's anyone who's athletic, you know the more you run, the more you walk, the more you build up stamina and strength in your legs. The more stamina and strength, the more you can endure. And so the Lord is saying, okay, in the winter season, you've been pretty much sitting, waiting. God, I don't know when. God, when? Show me a clue. God, where you at, Lord? We've been sitting and we've been waiting and we've been handicapped. And the enemy has literally sort of glued us to that spot of despair and rejection. And nobody likes me and I don't have a friend. God says, this is a new season now. Okay. So it's time to come out off the crutches, come out the wheelchairs. It's time to make effort, concerted effort. Going over extended domain, enlarging influence. This is what the Lord is telling me today. He said, "He said I'm upgrading you. I'm enlarging your influence. So get used to people calling your name, good and bad. Get used to people calling your name. Because listen, the higher you go, the more that you grow spiritually, of course, the more of a target you are for the enemy. And so here's what happened. A lot of people get to that place, and then we'll talk about that. The attacks come, and they retreat. And some people are in a perpetual place of retreat. Can't handle the blows. And so then they go back to the wheelchair, back on the crutches, and put the hearing aid back in. So if you're really ready to move forward, you got to understand what comes along with it. Yes, blessings come with that. Favor comes along with that. Doors open comes with it. But adversity comes with it as well. We'll talk about that in just a minute. So, again, this new place, moving forward. Because, I mean, how many ready to move forward? How many, if you're okay with where you are, then God bless you. This Bible says it's over for you. But I'm talking about if you're ready, like, God, I know there's more. I don't know what the more is, but I know it's more to this. Okay? So if you're ready for that, understand that it requires effort. You're going to have to start doing things differently. That's going to require more time of prayer. It's going to require constant consecration. It's going to require obedience. That's a curse word these days. So it's going to require some things, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's look at Joshua chapter 3, because I'm telling you that God is moving you forward, telling you that the old things are passing away. I'm telling you that God says, get away from the handicapped spirit, get out the wheelchair, get away from the crutches. So now here the Lord gives Joshua the to-do. This is what you're going to do. Everywhere you go, I'm going to give you this territory. If you meditate in my word, you're going to be strong. You're going to be courageous. And he comes back, you're going to be very strong, of a good courage. And then look at what happens in Joshua chapter... I'm going to go past chapter 2, talking about Rahab and all that. But look at Joshua chapter 3. And I'm going to verse 9 and 13, because I talked about, I think Apostle Paul mentioned this. He said, with great effectual doors opening comes great adversaries. Understand this. When God opens up a door for you, you're not just going to walk through it singing and shouting. And I mean, you will, but keep one eye open. I mean, praise him with one eye open. Because the enemy, first of all, he's been so content with seeing you confused and rejected and disappointed. He's been so used to seeing you handicapped. Now, when you step out, do you really think he's just going to let you walk into this new place in God? And he's not going to come after you. First of all, he's going to try to make you think that you didn't hear God. He's going to make you think that you're not strong enough to do this. So he's going to fight against you. Joshua chapter 3, verses 9 through 13 says this. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come here and hear the word of the Lord. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you. And this is, I'm even reading out of King James Version. He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites, the Amorites and the Jebusites. Seven stronghold spirits. Now, wait a minute, God, you just told me in chapter 1. That everywhere I go, I'm going to take this land. You just told me that if I meditate in your word, I'm going to be strong and have a good courage. You just told me Moses is dead. Get ready for this new season. So where all this stuff come from? Not just one devil. Not even two. The Lord himself tells you, you're going to have seven stronghold spirits that you're going to have to contend with. Now, does it make sense why he said be strong and have a good courage? And by the way, be strong and have a good courage. Now, years ago, I did a teaching on this, and I actually broke down what the spiritual meaning of the Canaanites and Hittites and all the other ites were. I don't have that with me tonight. If you're interested in that, go and look that up. Because each of those ites represents something, a spiritual stronghold. One of them represents something in your emotions, where another one represents something in family lines. I mean, this is some interesting reading. If you feel led to do that, go back and find out, what are my ites? I think that was the name of my message, what are your ites? But go back and find out, because each of these names, in the Hebrew, every name means something. The name Joshua actually means salvation. That's the Hebrew word for Jesus. Jesus and Joshua is the same word. So, as God is moving you forward, he's telling you, I'm going to drive these strongholds out from among you. And then he names all of them. Now, I don't know about you, I was fired when the Lord told me he was going to prosper me and he was going to bless me and enlarge me and make my name great. I was cool with that. But when he added that addendum to it, I got concerned. Because now I want to know, well, who are these people that I have to fight? Who do I have to contend with? So like I said, you know, in your own time, go and look that up. But he says in verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, in other words, the spirit of the living God, goes before you into Jordan, because Jordan is where the battle is. Now, therefore, take 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of the tribe of man. Listen, verse 13, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the sole of your feet, the priests bear the ark, as soon as they rest in the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. In verse 14, the people removed from their tents. I don't want to get into the rest of that. But now here's the thing. God is telling you the battle is coming. He told you who was coming through. Then he tells you this is how you get through it. I think the reason why some of us get into the middle of our battles and stop and back up is because we don't count the cost of warfare. We think God is just going to bless us. God give you a word for a husband. Okay, you done got your gown. You got, you know, set the wedding date. Hadn't considered who family he's coming from. Does he have kids?
That's true.
Does he have baby mama drama? I mean, sometimes we get so caught up with right here. We don't understand who the Jebusites, the Girgashites, the Canaanites. You don't understand the ites that come along with that.
That's true.
Okay? So it's important that when God gives you strategy, he said, this is the next place in God you move into. This is the next ministry. This is the next job. Oh, praise God. Fall on the floor and throw a fit. Shout. Throw your tambourine. But when you get up,
yeah.
Say, okay, God, now tell me what devil I need to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's not just going to step back and let you. You've been struggling with this thing all your life. For 40 years, the children of Israel have been longing for their place. Wandering in the wilderness, eating manna, waiting on God to provide. And they finally get to a place where their prophetic promise is fulfilled. Do you think the enemy's going to sit back and just let you walk into your stuff? It's not going to happen. Now, it would be wonderful if it worked that way, but it doesn't. And this is what concerns me, because so many saints, I see the promises of God. God has even told me what the promises were. And I will see them get right here to Jordan.
Yeah.
And they see a little bit of warfare and they back up.
Yeah.
Because what the enemy does, and he can't do anything new, so he just rehearses his old stuff. Okay? The enemy cannot invent. He's not an inventor. He's not a creator. So he's going to use something old. Maybe a new person, but an old trick. He will let a person get right there to Jordan and cause the waters to rise up. Waters represents trouble in the spirit. Oh, God, I can't do this. My money's not right. My background is not right. And through that, you start backing up. You got taken out by a Girgashite. And listen, the enemy sometimes doesn't even have to work that hard against us, does he? Sometimes we help him. Sometimes we actually put the sword in the devil's hand. Okay? If we're going to be a victorious people, we're going to have to learn the art of warfare. Let me move on past that. So here are some things that you're going to need to overcome the enemy. And this was highlighted right here. God told you you're going to have 7 stronghold spirits that you're going to have to fight with. Now, how do you overcome? Number one, you overcome through obedience. Joshua had to follow the word of God. You overcome through obedience. You overcome through the presence of God. Remember, he said in verse 11, the ark of the covenant of the Lord goes before you. You got to take the presence of God with you. You cannot do this thing in your flesh. Well, I can quote a million scriptures. Congratulations. The devil can quote scriptures too. He was there when it was all written. You've got to have the power in Jesus' name to go along with you. So obedience. You've got to have the presence of God. Mentors. Somebody who's been there, done that. The Bible says that God told Joshua to take the 12 men out of the tribes, and later on we'll find out they were the ones who carried the testimony. You need somebody who said, you know what, sweetheart, I've been divorced before. I've lost my house before, but it's okay. God can, you know, you need to hear the test. You need to know somebody. God, has anybody been through this before? Am I the only one? You need mentors. You need somebody who can encourage you. Okay, so obedience, the presence of God, mentors, and then you need somebody who can preach the word of God. I'm not talking about somebody who can quote it and with a real good sound system behind it. I'm talking about somebody who knows the word of God with power and authority and can break it down.
Amen.
Okay, because man shall not live by every word. By bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out the mouth of God. And the next thing you know, you need some prayer warriors. You need some intercessors who can take a wall down. Not this Jesus come by here, Lord. We know. I'm talking about somebody who can chase devils. Okay. Now, let's move on past this. So I talked about obedience, the presence of God, mentors, prayer warriors, and you need preachers of the word of God. Look at Joshua 5:1. Now that you have all this instruction, God is telling you, daughter, this is the next place I'm taking you. This is what you're going to do. I want you to be strong. I want you to be of good courage. I know you have never done this before, but it's okay. My spirit has gone before you. I made the place plain. Here are the enemies. Don't worry about it. I'm letting you know so that when they come upon you, it won't take you all out. You won't get hysterical and act crazy. This is the name of the devil. That's when this demon of gossip is coming your way. A demon of poverty is coming. He'll let you know. When God gives you a prophetic word, I always go back and say, okay, God, now tell me how. I find people give a prophetic word and then they just run with it. Thus saith the Lord, you're going to start a church. And then they run, they're going to find a building, they're going to get the tambourines. Hadn't stopped and said, God, what type of ministry is this? Lord, is it a home-based ministry? Is it a church? Do you want me in a storefront? Do you want me to join somebody? Is it online? They don't stop it. They just got the directions and ran with it. So we have to stop and we have to ask the Lord, get his instructions. Get his wisdom for it. And he'll tell you, okay, now this is when you're going forward, but here's what you need to look out for, daughter. Watch out for this Girgashite. Watch out for this Hittite. Watch out for this, because they're coming your way. Look at what happens in Joshua chapter 5. And it came to pass, verse 1, when all the kings of Amorites, anytime you see kings in the Old Testament, those are strongholds. Okay? Strongholds. The kings of the Amorites, there were those ites again, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites. These are all spirits. This is the book of Joshua is a book of spiritual warfare. People don't even understand. It's full of warfare. That's why God told Joshua, you got to be strong. You got to be of a good courage. Because if you see this stuff coming your way and you back up, you're going to miss out. And this is why people now are calling people, oh, that was a false prophet. No, that wasn't a false prophet. They gave you the word and you didn't want to fight to see that word manifested. You thought it was just going to hit your doorbell. Somebody was just going to deliver the word to your house. The husband was just going to walk up on your job and give you flowers and propose. You don't understand the strategy behind it. There's work behind that. Behind every prophetic word, there is work. The word that I'm taking to Columbia next week is about the prophetic fulfillment. That's a sevenfold process, because God likes sevens. A sevenfold process to prophetic fulfillment that people, they miss it. They fall out on the third. That's it. And so people have all these promises stacked up that they never tap into. Yeah, it was a false prophet. No, you was a false believer. Wow. You wouldn't pray. You wouldn't fight. You wouldn't fast. You dropped out of church. You won't tithe. So don't go blame the prophet. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That was a good word. But you have to follow up on that.
Amen.
Wow. False
believers. Joshua 5:1, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard. Somebody say heard.
Heard.
The devil's always listening and watching you. That's what my book was. I'm sold out, but demonic gate watchers. Every move you make, they're watching you. Some of y'all got it. They're watching you. They're watching you. They heard. Remember, even when they went to Jericho, Rahab heard. Now, this girl, she was running a whorehouse. How in the world you heard about what God did? You know folk was talking. You know how they do in the club. Child, you heard about so-and-so? She heard about it. People talk. They are watching your life. Who she think she is? God's going to give her now. She done been single 35 years. Yes, God said he's going to give me a husband. Girgashite. You got to shut gossip down. If you listen to that, it's going to mess you up and you're not going to have the faith to receive. You're not going to have the enemy will come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why you can't share your stuff with everybody. You tell them what God said, and by the time they get through with you, you questioning God. Well, Lord, you know, so-and-so did say, you know, that was true what she said, Lord. You got to be careful. Protect your ear gate. Okay? So when they were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until they were passed over, the Bible says their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. Listen, we're so afraid of the devil, and we have no clue how afraid he is of us. Do you understand how many demons we would chase when we do step out and do what God calls us to do? When we do come out of rejection, when we get delivered from depression, when we get delivered from loneliness and despair. Do you understand how many devils we can put to flight? The Bible says when they found out what God was doing in the life of his people, the demons were afraid. Their heart melted. Even the spirit got confused. Listen, I think that literally happened in our church about a month ago. But they were confused. Anytime the enemy sees you going forward and you're not backing back, you're not backing down, people coming at you, and you're like, okay, I hear you, but I don't hear you. And you keep moving. It bothers him. The Bible says their heart melted. They could not believe. I cannot believe these people. They've been wandering all these years. A whole generation of them died out here. They come across the Jordan. You know they're getting ready to take Canaan. What in the world are we going to do?
Yeah.
Let me see. Where did I stop there? So what I love about this is that the Bible tells us that the enemy was afraid. But in verse 2, the children of Israel paid no attention to it at all. What did they do? They drew closer to the Lord. They started being circumcised. Now, here's what I love. And this, I thought about this today. Now, you just crossed over Jordan. You just came out of bondage. You just came out of a situation where people didn't think you was going to be delivered from. Your enemies are watching you. And what do you do next? Consecrate yourself. Not talk back. Devil, I see you. By you. I rebuke you. Nay. Let me draw closer to the Lord. Amen. Devil, I know you're watching me. I know you see my movements. So I'm going to go into a place of prayer. The Bible says that during this time as the enemy was watching Israel, the Lord tells Joshua, I want you to cut the foreskin of the men. In other words, circumcise. circumcised, pull back the hardness of your heart. I want you to come before me clean and pure. Anytime the enemy come up against you and you draw close to God, God himself will fight the battle for you. When you, this is what I tell people. Here's a mystery in terms of death. This is what God showed me. I don't know if it worked for everybody else, but this is what he showed me. When God has an investment in the earth, remember I said we're kingdom real estate. You think about real estate is an investment. When God makes an investment in you or me, and God says, I can trust this one to go to the nations. I can trust this one to cast out demons. I can trust this one to tell the truth. Even when death comes our way, God himself will say, it ain't time yet. She's not finished. There is not a devil that can touch your life when God knows that he can depend on you. Just think, the Lord actually bears us with a kiss. The angels in the book of Jude the demons were still battling with angels. Where's Moses' body? God himself buried Moses. Because God said, every time death tried to come Moses' way from the very beginning, from the womb, God said, no, I can trust this one. This one's going to carry my word. This one's going to deliver millions. This one's going to deliver multitudes. Every time death tried to come Moses' way, God stepped in and blocked it. Then when his work was done, God came down and kissed Moses, kissed him, and took him home. Whose phone is that? No, we call you mama. So when God finds somebody who was totally sold out, I'm not talking about some of the folks that is halfway with Jesus. I'm talking about folks that show enough. That the Lord said, from death do us part. Anytime death will try to come and attack your body, take your life, God himself will step in because he has invested that much in you. That's why the devil couldn't kill David. Devil couldn't kill, you know they tried to kill Saul. How many times, Paul? Even Jesus said, no man has power over my life. I don't care what, even if the devil put a disease upon you, you'll be preaching with diabetes. You'll be preaching. I'm telling you. I'm not saying that's not God's perfect will. It's, you know, because we got to watch what we put in our bodies. But what I'm saying is, there's no demon from hell, no demon that can have power over your life if you are truly sold out to God, because you are God's investment in the earth. And just like you watch over your bank account, do you give everybody access to it? Can I get to your account? No, you may not have nothing in there, but that's mine. You know what I'm saying? Okay, if you can protect that, that's your investment. How much more would the Father protect who you are on the earth? So even when these spirits, these demons in Joshua 5 came up against them, even when God told them about the seven strongholds, the ice, they were not worried. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And this is what we have to fight against when it's time for us to move forward. Here comes fear. Well, you know, ain't nobody never in your family did that before. You broke and pitiful. Who gonna let you do so and so? I mean, these things fight against you. Look what you gonna do. You gonna bow down with whatever you write. You know, mama didn't finish high school. Who am I to think? No, if God said it, I believe it. I may not understand. It may not make sense. I may not can afford it. My credit may can't get it. But if God said it, I believe it. Because he is the one doing it. It's not by me. It's not by might. Not by power. But by his spirit. So we must, when those Girgashites and Jebusites and all those other ites come against you and say, you can't do this. You'll never be married. You'll never break past $1,000 in your account. Devil, you a liar. But how can you fight against him if there's no word? There's got to be a word deposit in you. That's like Jesus went to the fig tree. The tree was full and fat and had no figs on it. That's how some of the saints are. They know, Lord have mercy. They know how to fit the tie. They know what suit to wear. They know how to match the shoes to the purse. They know all that, but don't know the word. Trees with no figs on them. I'm going to move past that. Too many trees in the churches with no figs. Okay. So Joshua 5:1. So the Lord tells them, I need you to draw my men. I need them to be closer to me. Now here's another thing too. Now here's this kind of reminds me of Job. Where God was so confident. Because y'all missed something. I just said the enemy was watching the children of Israel. They heard. Now here it is. They're watching. They're watching. And what is Joshua doing? Cutting the men, circumcising the men. Now, if I come to your house, and I say, I'm getting ready to come to your house, I'm getting ready to take your refrigerator, your TV, your laptop, I'm getting ready to take everything. And then you see me fall and break my leg right on the doorstep. You know, you can say, well, I'm about to beat you up because you're coming against me. So what I'm saying is, when the enemy saw, they're watching what the children of Israel are doing. When they saw Joshua, because they saw when Joshua was circumcising the men, you know, when somebody is circumcised, you're down for 2-3 days, easy. I mean, that's any type of surgery. That would have been a very key point in time for them to say, we're going to take them out right now while they're weak. This is how the power of God was on them, that even when these men were circumcised, 2 or 3 days out of commission, the devil still couldn't touch them. That means even, I don't care how weak you are, you can barely, if you can't even wave your hand, if you just in your heart say, God, I bless you, the devil still can't touch you.
Thank you.
If you just barely make it to church and look, I don't have no testimony in me today, I don't have no, I'm just here. That alone, just you being in place is alone to back the devil up.
Jesus.
I said, you mean to tell me these men were being circumcised, the Amorites and the kings of the camp, they are watching them, they still could not touch them. That's why you have to be careful how you, when you put your hand on people when they're going through stuff.
Right.
You have to be really careful because even if I slip and fall, I'm still God's anointed.
Right.
And God don't like folk to touch his anointed.
Mm-hmm.
David knew that about Saul. Now, Saul might be crazy, might be schizophrenic,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not going to touch him. Okay? So that was something in and of itself. I was like, wow, God, even when we're weak, even when life cuts us,
mm-hmm.
when we bleed, when people see the blood, you know what I'm saying? When people see your mess,
mm-hmm.
they still better not touch you. That's some powerful stuff right there. So let's move down to verse 11. Here's the next thing. Now the enemy is watching you. Even as you go through your cutting, you go through your purging, they can't touch you. Okay? Verse 11 says, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, parched corn, in the self same day. Let me stop there for a minute. Now, not only, now the enemy's watching, that's what, in the top of the chapter, we see the enemy's watching, they're watching and they're listening. Not only are the men being circumcised, they stopped and had a celebration, they had Passover. So they're cooking food, having a picnic to the glory of God, and the devil's watching. So even when you sit down, the Bible says the Lord will make a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Sometimes you ought to take a picture of your meal and put it on Facebook and say, devil, you see this? I'm eating good. You see what I'm saying? Show you some of my cornbread. I mean, because God is preparing you.
Yeah.
Look, the enemy will come at you so strong that you can't, you know, you lose the appetite. You lose the appetite. You don't want to eat. But here the Bible says, even in the midst of this season of warfare, they were still able to have a Passover, unleavened bread. They had parched corn. They was eating in the presence of the enemy.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the power of God. Now, moving past that, verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. In other words, God said, get ready for new resources.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're still talking about moving forward. We're talking about marching forward, okay? We're talking about Moses is dead. We're talking about being delivered from handicap relationship. We're talking about moving away, understanding what the enemy is doing, being strong, being courageous. We're talking about all these things. God said, now I'm drying up old resources.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
People you used to borrow money from, God said, not in this season. It got quiet. The places you used to get certain resources from, God said, not in the season. He says, now you're going to eat from the fruit of the land of Canaan. In other words, the place where God is taking you to, it has provisions there to take care of you.
Hallelujah.
Now you see why he was trying to back you up off of it. Because as long as you begging for some bread, he got you where he wants you. But when you step out and say, you know what, I'm doing this right now. I'm eating off of the work of my hands. I'm eating off of this. I don't need to ask you for nothing. I don't need your Kool-Aid. I don't need your grape juice. I don't need to borrow your car. I got my own car now. Come on, new resources. As we're moving forward, marching forward. Now, something happens here in verse 13. Is everybody okay? Something happens in verse 13 that is very, 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 very important to each of us as a believer. Whatever your work is, whatever your assignment is, whatever your position or whoever you are in the body of Christ, the Lord will appear to you right there in that place. And a lot of reasons why people are not seeing the Lord is because they're not in the right place. Okay? Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You're supposed to see God. He's supposed to show up. Let's look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you with me? Are you for me? Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. He said, are you for us or are you against us? In other words, are you with me? Are you, you know, whose side are you on? Listen to what this person says in verse 14, Joshua 5, 14. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And the Lord said unto him, what says my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose your shoe from off your foot, for the place whereupon you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. It's a whole lot going on right there. Number one, he encountered the Lord. Anytime, if anybody ever seen angels, no angel will ever allow you to worship them ever. Because angels are sent to minister to us. Anytime you have a spiritual experience and you see angels and you're able to bow down, you are actually in the presence of God himself. In the book of Daniel, when Daniel experienced angels and he went down to worship, the angel said, no. He said, we are your brothers. Amen. You will never be able to bow down before just an angel because they are the ones, we actually judge angels. Amen. So you're not to bow down to an angel. For Joshua to bow down, and this angel tells him, take your shoe off where you said it's holy, he encountered the Lord Jesus himself. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart. Amen. How did Jesus appear to Joshua? As a captain in the army. Who was Joshua? Captain of the army. The Lord is, if you are a teacher, he's going to come to you as a teacher. If you are a hairdresser, he's going to come to you as a hairdresser. Whoever you are, that's how he appears to you, to confirm who you are. That's why you don't have to worry about confusion. 10,000 people come to you, God say, I know how he showed himself to me. And if you have not had that experience, and you need to ask God, I need to see your glory.
Wow.
Show me your face. Then he had the same commission that Moses had, standing there on the holy ground, take your shoes off. Same God, the same God of Moses, appeared to Joshua. Now, when Jesus shows up with a sword in his hand, you won't have nothing to worry about. When Jesus shows up with a sword, and he tells you, I am captain of the host of the army of the Lord. And he already told you, be strong, be of a good courage. He's told you all these ites is coming against you. He told you the enemy is watching you. But all you have to do is obey the word of God. The Lord said, I will drive them out. There are some battles. Listen, Lord, have mercy. Listen to this. There are some people, because God has made vessels of mercy and he's made vessels of wrath. There are some people that God actually want to show his glory to, and not in a good way. And he's going to do that through your life. God was so angry with the Canaanites, with the Hittites, with the Amorites, with all these ites. The Lord himself said, you know what? I'm going to position you to take what they have. Why? Because some people have gained things. They didn't give glory to God. They bow down to other demons. God said, if you stand still, I'll take from them and I'll give it to you. This is where you find the scripture, the wealth of the wicked laid up for the righteous. There's some things that God will take from other folks, some positions on the job. Because they got the position, they still won't go to church. Now they have Sundays off, they won't tithe offer, they won't give offerings. God said, you know what? I can better get glory out of this position if one of my own elect, one of my own sons and daughters was in that position. There's some, I'm telling you, some battles you don't have to fight. Who you are in God will fight for you. Now that Jesus shows up, what happens in verse 6? The Bible says in Joshua 6, verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none went in. What happens the moment God tells you to move forward, the moment you hear the word of God, door shut in your face? Now this is the very place the Lord just told Joshua to go take Jericho and march around it 7 times and all that stuff. Now the door is shut in my face. God, didn't you tell me that this job was for me? Didn't you tell me this thing was for me? Well, why is the door shut? And here we go. Well, maybe I missed God. Well, maybe the prophet missed it. What happens when doors shut in your face? Then you go right back to God. Say, God, now you the one told me that this job was mine. You the one told me this thing was mine. The doors are shut. I need you to show me how to go around the door.
Amen.
And they literally did. They went around it 7 times and took the whole door, the walls and everything else down with it. Come on now. Verse 2. The Lord says to Joshua, I have given into your hand Jericho. Now wait a minute. Jericho, the doors are shut to Jericho. God said, I'm not responding to that. I'm not concerned about how many doors Jericho has shut. I just need you to understand I have given you Jericho. Don't tell me that they turned your application down. Don't tell me that they're being foreclosed. All I need you to know is I have given this thing to you. Can you believe the word of the Lord? Who before will you believe? The Lord, you know, they told me no, God. God said, I quit responding to the Lord out of fear.
Wow. Thank you.
The doors were shut. Is that in your Bible? Now Jericho was straightly shut up. The doors were shut. because of the children of Israel. Just because you come and apply for that job, the doors are just, now anybody else can apply for it. Everything goes straight. Here you come, a child of God. We don't need this position. It's filled. We don't, you know, this house right here is not for you. It's out of your income bracket. Door shut. The Lord did not respond to that. Verse 2, he said to Joshua, see? See? In other words, the proof that God is giving it to you is the shut door.
Wow.
He said, see? In other words, you're standing in front of this thing and it looks impossible. God said, see? Wow. Now faith is. I'm just saying, is this in your Bible? I'm just pulling out.
Wow.
It's in your Bible.
Wow.
The doors were shut and God said, see?
Yeah.
I have given into your hand Jericho and the king and the mighty men of valor. God said, oh, they shut the door? Oh, they told you no? So I'm going to give you the whole thing. And he tells him how to do it. This is what happens when we come across those shut doors. Go back and say, now God, I know you told me. Tell me how. That's what happens with a prophetic word. We get the word. We scream and holler. And then we don't get the how. We got the what.
Yeah.
We don't have the, I don't know how to do this. He said, you shall compass the city. All the men of war go around the city once. And I won't go into all this, but y'all know the story. Everybody read the story of Joshua and Jericho. He tells them how to do it. So who cares if the door is shut? God's going to take the door down, the wall down, and the people with it. You got to understand who you are as a child of God. You're kingdom real estate. If the Lord said, I want a believer in this particular, in Duke Energy, or in whatever y'all, Palmetto, Federal, whatever it is. I don't know what that is, but if God said, I want a believer there, then he's going to open the door. Or he's going to move somebody out of the way. Somebody's going to get that job. I don't care how long you've been. I've been here for 50 years. Well, I guess your time is up. Because God said he needs a believer in this seat right here. He needs somebody who can pray right here. Okay? Boy, that was good meat. When I came across it, I was like, wow. He said, see? See? I've given it to your hand. The proof was the shut door. Hello, hello, come on in. Good, how are you? So, we're in Joshua. We've actually looked through a good little bit, but we still got a little ways to go. Good on time. We're in Joshua chapter 5. Actually, Joshua 6, excuse me. Is that right? Yeah. Joshua 6. Now we're going to Joshua chapter 9, because now things are going good. You've got the word of the Lord. You've got prophetic promises being fulfilled in your life. You've got Jesus showing up with swords, so you don't have to worry about your battle. You know he's got you. As long as you stay in that place of obedience, you've got mentors. You've got the preaching of the word. You've got, you're consecrating yourself. God's got you. Okay, doors are shut in your face, but it's cool. God's got you. You ain't worried about that. If he said it, he's going to do it. If he's spoken it, it'll come to pass.
Amen.
So now, let's look here in Joshua chapter 9. Because here's another thing that takes some of us out when we're moving forward. Our topic tonight was marching forward, wasn't it? Preparing to march or marching forward. So now, look at what happens. All these things are happening. They were able to take Jericho. They took Ai. And so here's what's happening in chapter 9. Here comes deception. This is what happens when we get blessed and we close our eyes. You know, we get comfortable. We get content. And here comes the enemy. Let me look at 12 through 15. Joshua 9, 12 through 15. Well, let me just give you a summary in case you're not familiar with it. In this particular passage, the Gibeonites heard all this warfare, all the strategy, all this blessing that was taking place with Israel. They heard about Joshua, and they were afraid. And so you know what I'm saying, if you can't beat them, join them. And so the Gibeonites were like, you know what, we can't fight them, even though they were a strong people. But they said, you know what, we're going to join them. We're going to become a part of their federation. And this is what we have to look out for. Because sometimes, especially if you come out of a season of loneliness, or you come out of a season of God is delivering you from rejection, you've got to look out for folk that want to be your friend. Now, they were nowhere around when you was in the struggle. Okay, well, nowhere around when you're just trying to find a clue, trying to find God anywhere. But now that you start to come up a little bit, now that you start to, you know, you're doing a little better, here these folks come to want to join you. So this is sort of what's happening here with the Gibeonites in chapter 9. Let me look at verse 3. Let me just read that quickly. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, listen, verse 4, they did work wilily, or subtly, or deceiving, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, like they were important. And they took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clattered upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we come from a far country. Now they were just from right around the corner. They just put on old clothes to deceive them, carried old molded bread. Look at deception. I come from a long way. No, you just right from down the street. I see you at the grocery store. But that's how deception works. And see, you know, you got to watch out for that arrogance that comes upon you sometimes. When you start conquering some things and things start looking up, you get a little money in your bank, got a little bit going on. Now you get arrogant. And when you get arrogant, you start getting blinded. Because now you're blinded by ambition. So here's what happens. So verse 6, they went to Joshua to the camp and said, we come from a long country. Come on and make a league with us. And so the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure you dwell among us, how shall we make a league with you? And they said to Joshua, verse 8, we are your servants. And Joshua said, who are you and where you come from? That's a good question. And they said unto him, we come from a very far country. We are your servants. We come because of the name of the Lord your God. They're pulling on your relationship with the Lord now. We heard what God is doing in your life, great man of God. And so they said, we have heard the fame of him. And all that he did in Egypt. Always hearing stuff. Do you see that? They're hearing it. Just because folk ain't talking to you don't mean that they ain't hearing what's going on in your life. Folk got ears to the wall and they watching and listening. And then listen, verse 10. And we heard all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites, which was beyond Jordan, to the king of Heshbon. We heard about all this stuff. Listen, verse 11. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country told us to take victuals and to go down and to meet with y'all. I'm just paraphrasing. So, verse 12 and 13. So, this our bread, and they looked, showing this molded bread that they probably left out in the sun. That's how deception worked now. We took hot fire provision out of the houses on the day we came into you. Now it is dry and molded. And these bottles of wine. So, they're showing them all this stuff that they've been conjured up to make it seem as if, sure enough, they had been on a long way's journey. So, anyway, let me scroll down. Where am I? My, oh, thing.
They put in some work.
Yeah, they put in some work. And that's how the devil do. He will put in some work to bind you up. So, verse 15. So Joshua made peace. Verse 14 is very important. Let me go back. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. You got to be careful about assuming stuff. Well, they do look like they've been, you know, a long time journey. They do look like they've been, they didn't seek the Lord. Anytime that you're moving forward, you're in a season of warfare, your season of accelerated blessings, keep your eyes open. Because the enemy will come, well, girl, I know you've been lonely. Let me take you out to Papa John's. And I got some free coupons. The devil's a lie. I bake my own pizza. I don't want nothing from you. I don't know how you got here, but get on that boat and go back. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Valentine's Day, I know a lot of folk got suckered. I was thinking about you. I was at the store. Let me get you some rolls. I don't want your rolls. I buy my own rolls. I don't need no rolls from you. It's a man-made day anyway. I'm the Lord's Valentine. He's my sweetheart. You know, but you have to watch out when you're vulnerable. That's when he comes at you when you're vulnerable. When he knows you're weak. Now, Gibeon already knew, man, they're going forth, they're going to conquer, they're going to kill us. So let's try to hurry to make friends with them. And instead of Joshua stopping to say, Father, is this of you? Like mama's, but Lord, is he the one? You mess around and marry Mister. Oh, here come Mister. You messed up. Lord, is this the one? Is this the job? Is this the car? Always the Bible says acknowledge him in all of your ways and let him direct your path. Don't be deceived. I don't care how good one of my spiritual daughters called me there by new car. I said, look, you don't want something with pavements like that. I know it looks shiny. Everything look good when you're walking. A bike look good to you when you're walking. But you have to be careful not to let the enemy suck you into something. Then you are 2 months later crying, begging, trying to get out of it. So always seek the Lord. Always ask counsel at the mouth of the Lord. So Joshua did not do that. And there is a price to pay when we go contrary to God's will. So, let me see. I don't know if I want to get into that. But they were heated. I mean, that's a whole other passage. But when the children of Israel found out what had happened, they were heated about it. I'm trying to see if I want to get into that or not. Not really. some of that self-explanatory. You know what happened when you let the wrong folk into your camp. Mm-hmm. It's easier to get them out. It's easier to keep them out than it is to get them out. Okay, so I'm going to move on past that one. Just watch out for deception when God is blessing you, God's opening up doors for you. Don't assume nothing. Well, since God did it for so-and-so, I know he'll do it for me. Yeah, but ask God how he's going to do it for you so you don't get trapped up into something.
That's right.
It's hard to get out of certain things, especially in this case, like you're doing warfare. You need to have the right. You don't know who's in your camp. You don't know you fighting one way and somebody hits you in the back with a stab. You're like, where'd that come from? I'm thinking all of us on the same team. You know, be careful who you allow in your club, whatever that is. Be careful, because everybody's not for you, okay? Let's move on to Joshua 10. Here, the warfare intensifies. We're still talking about moving forward. We're talking about March being a month of promotion, acceleration. March being a month of resurrection in our life. And so God, I believe, has given us strategy. He's showing us how to do it. I believe he's showing us what to look out for. And he's showing us how to equip ourselves so we can fight and get through this thing, okay? In Joshua 10, something happens here. Look at verse... I have 23, but look at verse 5, Joshua 10, verse 5. And again, I'm just skipping through this for the sake of time. You can always go back and look at it if you desire. Joshua 10, 5. Therefore, the five kings. Now, wait a minute. First, I was dealing with two kings. And then initially, I was dealing with... notice that the warfare intensifies. The more territory you take for the Lord, the more you begin to prosper, the more you begin to grow strong, the warfare intensifies. Okay? The battle is going to intensify. It's okay. It's going to happen. We don't have to retreat. We don't have to fall back and get afraid. God is with us. Verse 5, therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up and made war against the camp of Gibeon. Now here are these same folk that you didn't have no business in your corner, no way. Now you got to fight their battles. You ever had folk like that?
Yes.
Now you got to fight somebody. You already got your stuff.
Right.
Yes. Now you got these folk that parked themselves in your life.
Yes.
And you got to do it. Come on.
Yes.
That's extra.
Yes.
I'm already battling for my life. I got kids. I got all this job. I don't need your drama.
Wow.
And it wasn't just one king. The Bible said five kings came against them. So now that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Came in and camped against Gibeon and made war with it. Now here in verse 6. Here they go. And so the men of Gibeon went to Joshua. Oh, they come. Can you pray for me?
Mm-hmm.
That's your friend. That's your BFF. Can you please pray for me?
Mm-hmm.
And so the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua, the camp of Gilgal, said, look, take not your hand from your servant. Come up quickly and save us and help us and blah, 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 blah. And so... Hold on, let me set my recorder here.